Good evening. We're up to Siman Shin Hey, page 192, and we're up to see if you test, which is as follows. Peimo shenoflo l'amas ha-mayim, an animal falls into amas ha-mayim. An animal falls into a amas ha-mayim, like a water, like a pit, a well, there was water inside it. An animal fell in there. A heavy animal falls in there. And obviously the animal is in distress. The animal is is in pain. Im amayim amukim, if the water is deep, mipnekach en yochal lefanos b'mekoymo, and because of the depth of the water, is unable to feed the animal which is found in that pit. What are you meant to do? Maybe korim v'ksosois, you should bring pillows and cushions. And you should throw it in underneath, and it's going to be underneath the animal. Mishum tzar balechaim, because of tzar balechaim, tzar agony of balechaim of animals. Although you're mevatel kli meichono from its regular usage. So the halacha is as follows: we've got an animal that fell into a pit. The animal should go out itself, but it's unable to. You've got a situation now that the animal is unable to crawl out of this pit. Now, it's in agony. And because of Tzar Balechaim now, we want to be able to help this animal. But how are we going to help this animal? So Shulchan Aruch says that what you should do is throw in pillows and cushions. What's going to happen if you throw in pillows and cushions? It's going to be able to climb out. Yeah, by throwing if you could feed the animal then that's best. But if you can't, because the water is deep, and you can't throw in, nothing is going to work. So you're allowed to throw in pillows enough that you're making the floor higher in a way that the animal is able to climb out afterwards. That's what you're allowed to do. Let us see Mishnah Berurah have gotten some ches, second white line. If the water is deep. If the water is not deep, you can provide food and sustenance for the animal in its place. Shaloi Thomas, that it shouldn't die. Then it wouldn't be allowed. We've got a problem with it. It's an isof mevatel kli meichonoy. To throw in pillows and cushions doesn't come without a cost. And I don't mean a financial cost. I mean a halachic cost. Because there's an issue of mevatel kli meichonoy. We just spoke about this concept of mevatel kli meichonoy. Do you know what it was? Mevatel kli meichonoy? Yeah. What is it? Very good. That's right. That's exactly the concept of mevatel kli meichonoy. The concept of mevatel kli meichonoy means, what's the case you're referring to? The case of? Yeah. Why is it way mevatel kli mechonoy? Yeah, that's right. By making an item which is a valuable item which has usage and has a tashmish and has you can use, making it into something on Shabbos that you can't use it anymore now. You're canceling its regular usage. By doing that, that's also the rabbanon. You're mevatel kli, you're canceling the vessel mechonah from its regular purpose. That's also the rabbanon. Mevatel kli mechonah. So the case that you're mentioning is the case of having a pot and putting water and allowing water dripping in. Now this pot, which had its certain purpose, now you can't use for anything else now because the water is dripping in. It's a bosses. It becomes a bosses now. Also, you cannot use it anymore for something. It becomes a bosses, which is mukta. You can't use it for anything else now. That's awesome darbonum. What about here? By throwing in the pillows and the cushions, sounds like a nice thing to do. You know, like a pillow fight. You throw in the pillows. You're throwing it into the. So, is this okay or is it a problem? You're throwing into the pit, to the wet. Would you see there's a problem there or not? Yeah. What do you tie in them? Very good. So the answer is yes, there is a problem here. These pillows, which had a very specific purpose and usage, by throwing them into the pit now, I understand you're doing it for good reason. You want the cow to climb out, to jump out. But the maisa, the pillow is now sopping wet. The amalti d'alterity been used by animal. Ham mevatel kli mehechonoi. Yes, I am mevatel kli mehechonoi. Yeah. Yes. And then it's also. Now I'm making this into something which I cannot use anymore. So there's an issa of issa the abonavat lekim echonoi. So why are you allowed to do it? Because Shulchan Aruch says again. I'm reading the words again. Behemosh enofel amas amayim, an animal which fell into an amas amayim. Im amayim amukim, if the water is deep, umepnekach einoch alefanat sabim koma, because the depth of the water cannot provide food for the animal. Because if it's not deep, then you can just throw in food, and it'll be all right until Motzei Shabbos. To throw in food, it'll be all right. But if he can't throw in food, And the animal is, it's Shabbos morning, the animal is going to be starved until Motzei Shabbos. I can't throw in food. If I can throw in food, that's the eitzah, that's what I should do. But if I can't throw in food, so it's en yochel efaneso, Shulchan Aruch says, maybe korim v'ksosos, you are allowed to put in pillows and cushions, v'nois and tachter, which will be placed underneath the animal, mishul tzar balechaim, because of tzar balechaim. And it's going to climb out from this. The answer is yes, you are mevatel kli mechonoi, but you're allowed to do it over here for a very specific reason. And the reason is tzar ba'al chaim. That there's an issa, we don't want our animals to suffer, we don't want animals to be in agony and in a painful situation for extended amount of time. Therefore, I cannot allow for this animal to be in that pit without food, without water, without drink, without anything. I don't have to allow. I'm allowed, and I can't just be mevatel bim koma. It doesn't help if I throw in carrots in. It's not going to work. So I'm allowed to be mevatel kli mechonoi by throwing pillows in. It's good. So there's a specific het over here. Mishlebos if cotton samachtas maybe korim v'ksosos v'uadin, and similarly also the yochel ani achshah kelim tachter. It doesn't have to be pillows. There's no nothing particular about pillows. Kidei shetu chalas in order to go up. It could be anything. It's even korim v'ksosos. It's even pillows. Af to lo yiruim l'teleshtamash b'ayin. And there's a, although it's not gonna, because the korim v'ksosos are used, are being brought as an example, because they won't be able to be used afterwards. But shalein lochud lachos z'mayim, as long as they're wet, they're gonna be any particular, they can't use them anymore. Af l'chshetale abayim, even after the animal has gone up, you will not be able to use those pillars anymore. Nevertheless, muta, it's permitted. The osi, these are the key words now. These are the key words. The osi tzar balechaim, because it comes along tzar balechaim, du deraisa, which is deraisa. How do we know that tzar balechaim is deraisa? Bimash ziru atur mitzvah prikas amasum al abayimah. From the Torah, the Torah tells us that if there's a heavy load on the animal, you're allowed to unload the animal because of Tzar Balechaim. So that's how we know that Tzar Balechaim actually is a Torah concept. How do we know that Tzar Balechaim is a concept? Is it Doraisa, Drabonon? The answer is we know Tzar Balechaim is Doraisa because we have an obligation to take off heavy loads of an animal if it is a heavy load. Pika Samaso. So that's how we know that there's a Tzar Balechaim Doraisa. So therefore, this deraisa concept of Tzar Balechaim comes, v'doche issa bitul kli mechonoi, and it pushes away the issa drabon of bitul kli mechonoi, shum drabon, which is only rabbinical, shugozu shlevatl b'shabas kli m'mas shum chenes. Shugozu shlevatl kli b'shabas kli m'mas shum chenes. That we're not, generally, bitul kli mechonoi means you're not allowed to cancel on Shabbos a clear vessel for what it's meant for, what its purpose is. By the way, I had once say, there was once a quiz on Mishnah Berurah. Quiz on Mishnah Berurah, very difficult quiz on Mishnah Berurah, some 100 questions on Mishnah Berurah. And the question, one of the questions was, where in Mishnah Berurah does it bring the Makor of Tzar Balechaim? Where does it bring the Makor of Tzar Balechaim in the 6 volumes of Mishnah Berurah? Where does it bring Tzar Balechaim? And the answer is this Mishnah Berurah over here. It was very hard, not many people knew the answer. And this is where it brings that Tzar Balechaim is learned from Prikas Amasov, from the Behemoth. So, yes, we're learning over here that the Doraisa of Tzar Balechaim pushes away the Rabbanon of Klim Mechonoi. There is a Machloek is a poskim about Tzar Balechaim, generally, but over here we can see clearly that Tzar Balechaim is Doraisa.
talking about Son of Humans. You could do any drabbana.
Tzar of humans. Good question. So next Sifkot Ein will answer your question. Mishnah Berurah and Sifkot Ein says, "Menos and Tachti Yelah to place those items underneath the animal. Havalosu Laloisu Beidam. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to push the animal up. So don't pull the bull by its horn and try to schlep it up from the pit." Also, Laloisu Beidam. They call Balechaim a Muktzim because Balechaim a Muktzim. Ve'afal Gav Deikit Tzar Balechaim. Although there is an element of Tzar Balechaim. It's also the ein lono ledamo is gzeres gzeres chomizulizu because you cannot compare gzeres. So this is Rabbi Yisrael Kimishnabura, which needs to be understood and comprehended. We said you're allowed to throw pillows in. To throw pillows in is a drabonon. So you would have argued maybe, and perhaps you'd have said, okay then, but don't bother with the pillows. Take this animal, and if it's an elephant, then pull the elephant up by its trunk, and if it's a cow, then take it by its horn. And if it's a lion by its tail, and schlep it up the bed. You'd have said, you know, I agree it's mukta, and I agree the animals are mukta, but over here, I'm allowed to do mukta. Why? Just like Tzar Balechaim pushes away the Isad Rabbonon of Mivat Kli Bechonoi, so similarly also it's going to push away mukta. You'd have thought that. Comes along Shulchan Aruch and says, no. We are only allowed to put in pillows. But mukta remains also. So you're not allowed to take the animal out with your hands because it's mukta, and you're not allowed to do any other drabonon in order to get the animal out of there. So Tzar Balechaim is a deraisa, but not every drabonon is pushed away from that. Why? Because ein ledamos gzeres gzeres. You cannot compare this is drabonon with this is drabonon. Yeah.
Does this also apply if it's a very deep pit? Or well, and the animal is going to drown if you don't help it up.
Why can you not throw the pillows in?
It's so deep, the pillows are going to go to the bottom and there won't be enough depth for the animal to climb on top of them. And it's struggling and struggling, a dog or a sheep or whatever, and you know it's going to drown unless you go to try and save it. Maybe there's a ladder at the side of the well. Or you can get down the pit somehow on a rope. Are you allowed to rescue the dog or the calf or whatever it is?
Yeah, so the answer to your very interesting question is, this is machlokes achronim. Many achronim suggest that I think that's also the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah that you can't do it. It's only very specific Issur Rabbanon of Mevatel Kli Bechona, which is Mutter. And under any circumstance, you cannot do more than that with regards to an animal. Other Achronim are more lenient. And they say when you've got a combination of Tzar Balechaim plus Hefzet, you'd be allowed to do it. Yeah, another Rabbanon. But I must say, the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be that you can't do it. Right.
What about to save the life?
Of the animal? It's not poshut, they're allowed to do it.
Really?
It's not poshut. Not an Issur Rabbanon. Mevatel Kli Bechona you're allowed to do, but the other Issur Rabbanon necessarily.
But if it was a human being?
Of course! Human being, anything.
Why? I thought we'd say we shouldn't be, you know, to help the animal, which can't be obvious. Why is there a difference? If the animal is going to, you know it's going to die if you can't get it out. So basically
you should throw in pillows.
Yeah, but if they can't, let's say like his question was...
Then you've got a machlokes achronim.
And your alternative is you put a ladder or something, you're saying you can't do it under any...
Well, a ladder man, I'm not saying necessarily it's an Issur Rabbanon in putting a ladder in. Well, a ladder, would the animal be able to climb up a ladder? Which is the bone is it? If it's a put up, if it's a made up...
The human being could go down and help.
So the answer is this will be, if there's an Issur Rabbanon involved, he's a machlokes achronim. And I understand that Mishnah Berurah would be machmir, but other posts, I think the Chazon Ish is meikel amongst others. Yeah. With regards to your question, what did you ask? Yeah, very good. So this is an interesting ma'amakim. You're saying that if already allowed to do an Issur Rabbanon for Tzar Balechaim, then surely you could allow to do an Issur Rabbanon in order to save a human from pain. It might not be a raya from here. Because we've got in one very specific issa which is pushed away. And it doesn't mean you're allowed to do any other issa drabonon in order to save a person from pain. Yeah. Medicines for animals. for again, what would be the case?
No, I'm saying that
it's not so posh that you're allowed to. At times you are, at times not. That will be discussed in the Simchat Chofres. Okay. I do find it interesting, though, that we are finding that there is, I mean, anybody who's got wants to write a thesis about Tzar Baalei Chaim in Halacha and in Torah, this will be one of the key ma'amakoymos. So you see that we are matir, and it's point number one, we see that Tzar Baalei Chaim is considered a mitzvah d'oraisa, as the Mishneh Berurah learns. He calls it a d'oraisa, and we learn it from Pirkas Oil. Just like unloading an animal's load is a d'oraisa, you have to make sure it's comfortable. So also removing it from a painful pit, he's hungry and in pain, that's a d'oraisa, it's a Torah law to get him out of there and to see after him. That's point number one that we're seeing over here. And secondly, we're seeing even more than that, we're seeing that some Isurei Derabanan are pushed away because of Tzar Baalei Chaim. Admittedly, not all of them, but some yes. So this could be an interesting thesis on Tzar Baalei Chaim, and you could work on it, you could think it through. Why this Isurei Derabanan is pushed away and others not, that needs to be understood. I don't have clarity in that. Okay, finish the Ramah. Din Keru, the Ramah finishes off on the bottom of the page. Din Keru Behema B'Shabbos, to cool down animal on Shabbos, K'moi B'Yom Tov. Hele, come on, that is discussed elsewhere. To cool down animal who is very particularly hot on a Shabbos day, what are you going to do with it? That's on Yom Tov, that's discussed elsewhere. Sif Chav. Mutter, Lo'im Alein Yehudi, Lach Lo'i Behem Tov B'Shabbos. We're moving on now with milking a cow on Shabbos. Hele, to milk an animal on Shabbos. So here we're learning that you're not allowed to milk. What about milking an animal on Shabbos? What melacha is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, so the answer is that to milk an animal is the actually midiraisa, and yet, you're allowed to ask a goy to milk your animal on Shabbos. You, of course, you're not allowed to do it, but you're allowed to milk the animal on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to ask a goy to milk your animal on Shabbos? Mishum Tzar Baalei Chaim here again. Because of Tzar Baalei Chaim, not your own personal benefit, but not at all. It's about the animal being uncomfortable by having so much milk. So you're allowed to ask a goy to milk the animal on Shabbos for the animal's own benefit and comfort. Shacholov metzaro, because the milk causes the pain. Vacholov also by biyoim, and the milk remains also to be used on Shabbos itself. Some say, you must buy and purchase it from the goy for a little bit of money, unsubstantial figure, so it shouldn't appear that he's milking the animal for the sake of the yid. I'm skipping. I'm going all the way till to the first wide line. Because of Rambam, this is the Rambam. Somebody who milks into a vessel. Chayv is an osur midoraisa. If you're milking into a vessel and you're keeping and you're looking after the milk which you just milked, chayv, that's an osur midoraisa. But if you're milking straight into a food, potu, then it's only osur midrabanan. Mikol mokum isur yesh, there's still an osur midrabanan, the kol p'tur shabbos potu, but also there's an osur midrabanan involved by milking into a food as opposed to milking into a keli. Also the cholov remains also after the cholov v'seich oichel, the milk remains also wherever you're milking to kiven abehema in a roi lachila, kiven abehema in a roi lachila have a mukta, because it's mukta, it comes from a mukta place. So v'cholov also they've got nine base mishum mashkin sezovo liquids that are coming out in the peris from fruit. So there's no difference. Just like fruit juices are also, similarly also milk coming from a cow is also as well. Home to Mishita, they came along, it's also. So Rabbi said, we're learning over here that milking is also midiraisa. Certainly if you're milking into a kli, if you're milking into a food, that's only midrabanan. And here we are learning that if you want to look after the animal because of Tzar Baalei Chaim, what you are allowed to do is, you're allowed to milk to ask a goat to milk, and he goes to you're not having the direct benefit, then it's going to be mutter. But if you pay for it afterwards, that's fine. But only again, if you don't do it, but you ask a goat to do that. This was one of the main shilas that the Chazon Ish one of the main shilas in the early years of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael Chazanish was very busy discussing this very shailem. There was Yiddish farms, and they struggled. They struggled because of Shemitah, famously, and they struggled because of Shabbos, and it was one of the panosas that they had in Kamias and other places. The panos they had was the cows, was the milk they produced. And here you go, and they were struggling financially as it is. Here they come, and some people want to be matir that they can milk their cows on Shabbos in certain ways, b'shinay or whatever. Chazanish came and said, listen here, you're going to be moisten nefesh for this one over here, gentlemen, because you're not allowed to have any benefit from this milk. And if you ask them to milk the cow's milk, through goyim, and it should go to waste. It should go on the floor. It should go to waste. Can you imagine? This is a big financial hazard, to milk the milk all to go to wastage. But that was what Chazanish asked them to do. The myself, here we're learning that if you're allowed to ask a goy to milk the animal, because of tzar balechaim. So that means that for tzar balechaim, but that doesn't mean you have to actually make a benefit from it. You're not allowed to get a direct benefit from it. Yeah, Shulchan Aruch tells us that you're allowed to buy the milk. You're allowed to buy the milk. Yeah, otherwise it would appear as if the goy is milking for you. He's your shliach. So therefore, he's allowed to milk. He's allowed to milk the animals, but you have to pay the goy. Although it's your cows. You have to pay him. Pardon? Yeah, but still, otherwise it would appear that he's working. He would look as if he's doing a mir lanochi. Well, you're paying. The Shulchan Aruch's word is you have to make a point that it didn't do the work for you. That's a good question. That's a very good question. That's what the poskim discussed as to whether you're allowed to. If that nowadays, of course, not they don't milk by hand. If you're allowed to put the milking machineries on, so why would it be different? Why? You're doing it for tzar balechaim, but why? You're not really. You're using the milk. So what? You're putting it on, and then it goes to waste. Yeah, no, but Gideon says that. What were you saying? That where would the milk go? For tzar balechaim. Yeah, it won't make a difference if it's by hand or by machinery. Correct. Sif chavalef. Gvinois shoyses hashvachois. This is the cheese which the maids create, the cheese that the maids make. Me'atzmon of themselves, mecholov shel Yisrael, from the milk of the Yid, muta is muta, kevin she'enu oim aleim she'asu. So there was milk, there was lots of milk, abundance of milk, which was flying around, floating around in the farms where the Yidin had all their cows. And the Goyish ladies that were working there, they would take all the abundance of milk, which was milked on Shabbos, and in order to avoid wastage, they would make cheeses out of it. Question is, obviously, the question is, now they've made those cheeses, and they are, the question arises, is the Yid allowed to have those cheeses? Is he allowed to benefit from those cheeses? They were made by the Yiddish milk, in Yiddish farm, by Yiddish cows. Well, yeah, and they were milked by the Goyish Shvachos, but the cheese was made by those of the mutter also. So Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to have it. It's mutter kiven she'en oimala and she asked, because they were never directly asked to do the cheese. They did it on their own right, their own accord. They were never requested and asked and instructed to do the cheese, and hence it's mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot Ayin Dalet, Mutter Kevin, and we'll finish off with that. Mutter Kevin, the Hainum, the Mistoma, Dait, the Nafshikov, the Goyisha, ladies did it on their own accord. The Achonim disagree with that. Kevin Shenoy Teles, a Cholov Shel Yisrael, because she takes the milk from the Yid, Veroyah Yisrael, the Yid sees her taking the milk, and he's all quiet, Veroyah Yisrael, Veshoisek, Mistoma, Dait, the Yisrael, Kov, obviously, you can't say she did it on their own accord. The Yiddish owner, the landlord, he watched and he saw it. And he didn't say a word. So that means that she knew very well that the Yid is happy with it. And therefore it should be awesome. She knows very well that the Yid is happy with her making that cheese. And on the contrary, the Yid should tell her, stop doing this. I don't want you to do any cheeses with my milk that was made on Shabbos. Certainly it's also, even if she takes in her own house, in her own room, she's not allowed to make cheese out of this. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens, that actually, no, it's not mutter to do so. We learned this evening the halacha of a behemah shenofel lemasamayim, animal which falls in, because tzar bal chayim you're allowed to be over on the issur rabbanon of mevatel kli mechonoi. We learned that this is only with regards to the rabbanon of mevatel kli mechonoi, all the issur rabbanon remain also even b'kum tzar bal chayim. We learned that milking an animal is also a deraisa. If it's in the kli, it's in deraisa. If it's into a eichel, it's midrabanon. If it's asked, you're allowed to ask a goy to milk the animals on Shabbos as long as there's tzar bal chayim involved. If you're doing it for the animal's sake, however, the milk remains also. You should purchase the milk from the goy for a bit of money. We spoke about a cheese, which the Shulchan Aruch states that the cheeses that the shvacha is create on their own right from the yiddish milk. That's mutter to enjoy that. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees and he says there's no such reality of them doing it on their own accord, because if the Yid watches it and he sees it happening and he doesn't say a word, and that's done by the Yid, that's done with accordance, that's done with the permission of the Yid, and that therefore will be also. Good evening.